Braden Langley, and we are going to dive into so many topics today. I've got Tabs of Freedom, we've got RFK Jr., we've got Trump, we've got propagandists from the left. This is going to be a show that you are going to relish, and please give us a rating, leave us a comment, and send this bad boy out, because we would love to spread the message of this podcast far and wide, because we are coming for freedom. Now, a little bit about me to kind of establish my bona fides. I come from the gun world. I come from the gun rights advocacy world, the gun rights versus gun control fight. I have a channel on YouTube called Langley Outdoors Academy. We've net over 526,000 subscribers and over 100 million views based around a simple principle: passing the blessing of our freedoms on to the next generation by fighting politically for the right for them to have the same chance that we had. Now, the thing that's key here to understand, the left is using the exact same tactics against the general population now that they've used against us in the gun world for the last 10 to 20 years, decades at this point. We're coming into the general politic because the horns of battle have been sounded, and we are coming because it is something that is so familiar and so easy to defeat if you only see what they're doing to you and your freedoms and how they are achieving it. Now, a baseline before we get actually into the tabs of tyranny that I've got pulled up here. You have to understand your opponent. You can't go into a fight not understanding what we're talking about. You also have to have a clear outcome and destination of where you are going to end up. I will never sit here on a podcast with you or a YouTube channel show for that matter and tell you how pissed I am, how pissed you should be, and not provide you some sort of solution. The days of being angry without anything beyond that are over. It doesn't help us at all. It doesn't help us pass freedom on to the next generation. It doesn't help us preserve freedom for ourselves. All it does is serve an emotional purpose, some impetus to act, to do something in the short term, sacrificing the long term, because that is not a sustainable model. Look at the left. Look at the episodes that we've done on this podcast already in its infancy, talking about how the left is completely crisis out. They've depleted their dopamine resources because the leaders of the Democratic Party decided to use fear, emotion, anger, division, it's probably more accurate, against them in order to get them motivated in the short term against the specter that is Trump, ironically about to pop up here and make their dreams and turn into nightmares. But understand, you have to know what your opponent is doing and understand them, and you have to understand where you're going. I just laid out where we're going. We're analyzing everything that we're going to see in our political spectrum in the news I'm about to cover towards an outcome of freedom for the next generation, passing it on. Something I've said on previous episodes. The oaks, the mighty oaks who have seen the storms, who are weather-hardened, the older generation, pairing it with the younger saplings of freedom are going to make a forest that is undestroyable. It will not be able to be permeated by the waves and the onslaught of socialism, of division, of anger, because we will be so well rooted together. That's the point. Tying the aged, tying the weathered, tying the extremely strong with the new, and passing that freedom along for them to do the exact same thing. The left doesn't have that. Conservatism is the way to continue our freedoms on. This leftist collectivist ideal that the far left progressives and woke are experiencing is not a solution for this country in the future. And I'm fully convinced the population is turning against it as well. Like I said, you guys can let me know in the comments, and you guys can share this out and let the statistics speak for themselves. But understand, this changes when we band together to change it. That's the moment. Emotion and anger is fine, as long as it's used to drive a purpose, not just come back tomorrow where I'm going to tell you to be angry again. It's not how we roll. But speaking of rolling, let's get right over to this little situation right here, the first tab of tyranny. You wouldn't believe that the left would have Soros-funded marketing campaigns that were building entire marketing and news networks for social distribution at the behest of the Biden campaign, would you? Yeah, I know. It would be crazy. I could never see that happening. Well, it's true. So this little article I'm going to read you, the founder of Soros-funded propaganda news network has visited Biden's White House nearly 20 times, and it's called the Courier Newsroom. Okay. So if it's Soros-funded and it's a propaganda news network, you know, let's be fair. Fox News is the one that wrote this article. Let's just say there's an innate bias in this article. Let's dive into this for a second and explore what could potentially lead them to the idea that this will be a propagandist network. So one of the main stars in this episode is Tara McGowan. Now, she's the founder and publisher of Courier Newsroom and has visited the Biden White House nearly 20 times, a Fox News digital review found. Now, it gets a little bit deeper because one of the things that you'll find when you're observing leftists and you're studying leftists, there's always layers. They're like onions. They could be like cakes or parfaits, but those are delicious and I don't like those for them. So we're going to go with onions and garlic and stuff like that because it makes you curl your nose. So the founder of Courier Newsroom's parent, Good Information Inc. So now we got two layers. They participated in several one-on-one meetings with top White House aides. For example, McGowan met with Jordan Finkelstein, who was serving as chief of staff to one of President Biden's senior advisors at least six times between October 2022 and October 2023, which is interesting timing because if you know from the gun world, that's very specifically when they were starting to hit on the executive actions through the bureaucratic auspices of the ATF against gun rights. Now, if you're not familiar with that world, basically, they were going ham sandwich through the executive branch and the signing of a pen and the twisting of levers within the bureaucracies because they didn't have Congress and legislative power. That's essentially what was happening. But anyway, back to Tara and Soros and Biden, because that's not good. Two other top White House aides who McGowan met with were Madeleine Strasser, who previously served as an advisor, to then White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. Now, we're going to pause this for a second. Ron Klain, he is directly tied to Biden because he's the White House Chief of Staff. This guy is not low on the totem pole. He's not the head of communications for an office or an aide. He is quite literally the White House Chief of Staff. And then there's Nina. I can't even say her name. We're calling her Nina S., who also served as an advisor to Klain. Okay, so now you got two. You've got Ron Klain, knows Biden, familiar with Biden in that circle. And then you've got his assistant, who also would presumably be in Biden's circle. Several times they met, according to visitor logs, between April of 2022 and August of 2022, so the spring through the summer of 2022. But maybe it's a coincidence, you tell me. I can almost hear you talking to your phone. Maybe this is not a negative person. Maybe the ties to Soros and all the other information and funding was just coincidence. Well, there's a little bit of a backstory here. McGowan, who worked on former President Obama's re-election campaign and later for Priorities USA Action, the main super PAC that backed Hillary Clinton's failed 2016 presidential candidacy, launched Good Information in 2021 to counter fake news and disinformation. So that's interesting because if you look at the players involved and you look at the timing, let's just assign some different things here from well-known facts that are easily confirmable. President Obama's re-election campaign, okay, so that's, you're established as in the left, and then later's for Priority USA Action, the main super PAC that backed Hillary Clinton. So you went from Obama's second term directly into Hillary Clinton, who was against Trump in 2016. Then Hillary lost, and this individual launched Good Information in 2021 to counter fake news and disinformation. Well, that's coincidental because I seem to think that fake news and disinformation, that seems right about the time when Biden was putting out a lot of the censorship stuff around social media. Just, I'm sure it's just coincidental, right? But as part of its operations, Good Information acquired Courier Newsroom, which McGowan also founded. That's so weird how all of these things are tied together. But maybe, again, you're telling me that's a lot of coincidences, which it totally could be. Beautiful people. Or it could not be. I'm going to be honest with you. But listen to this quote. The Biden administration doesn't get enough credit for how deeply and strategically they have begun to embrace new models of media, journalism, and social influencers to get their message across to audiences that are no longer reached by the traditional press corps, the report states. Courier Newsroom also undertook a seven-figure ad campaign to boost Democratic politicians during the 2020 elections, and some of its news pieces mirrored the politicians' own press releases, the Washington Free Beacon previously reported. So this is a Democratic booster. That's all this is. They put a different name on it, and it's funded with a lot of money, seven figures. So for anybody who's not paying attention to that, that would be from, oh, goodness, over $1 million, at least. And you happen to have the same information as press releases. Well, let's look at some other information here, because the whole point here is understand, the left has a designed outcome. It is to take over the Democratic Party and therefore bring about their utopia through controlling the powers of lever, or the levers of power, rather, in Washington. So the way that you do that is something like this. Courier Newsroom, meanwhile, has received millions of dollars in funding from liberal mega donors. The George Soros bankrolled Open Society Foundations is one such institution that has provided vast amounts of cash to its operations. Another one is the Fund for Policy Reform. One of the nonprofits in the Soros network provided Courier Newsroom with three grants totaling $5 million in 2021 and 2022, the same year that it opened. So if you're tracking at home, you've got the founder of this, who worked on Obama's re-election campaign, then on Hillary Clinton's campaign, then goes dark for 4 years, then comes up all of a sudden in 2021 and has a brand new organization called Courier Newsroom, owned by Good Information, both of which are owned by the same person. And they get multi-million dollar grants from the Soros-founded affiliates, funded affiliates rather. You seeing the painting on the wall here? It's pretty straightforward what's going on. Open Society Foundation stood by their past financial support of Courier Newsroom, calling its value-driven journalism. Open Society is proud to be among several founders who support Courier Newsroom, which is responding to the disappearance of so many trusted local news organizations across the U.S. to provide quality local values-driven journalism and to meet readers where they are, online, an Open Society Foundation spokesperson told Fox News Digital. But you know what's really fascinating about this? Beautiful people. And I just find this so interesting. They open them all in swing states. Isn't that strange? Courier announced last summer it was beefing up its infrastructure ahead of the 2024 elections by launching additional newsrooms in Nevada, Texas, and New Hampshire, according to the Axios report. That stacks on top of the battleground states such as Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Wisconsin. All right, so we're going to wrap this story really quickly, and we're just going to do a high level, because this is something that's really helpful in the gun world when we do this, because you can always see the strings. Obama election, Clinton campaign, money from Soros-backed agencies, focuses on opening newsrooms in only swing states and then emerging swing states, millions upon millions of dollars in supporting the entire operation the initial year of opening, and they all happen to parrot Democrat news releases. Guys, what you're seeing is a complete entity that is designed solely to influence the perception through online media in order to replace traditional media, which no one is listening to anymore because they all squander the reputations. That's what you're talking about here. But that's just the first thing that we're going to talk about. But think about that in summation. All this money is coming into networks that are supporting the Democratic narrative, have visited the White House, and they have ties directly to well-known funding groups for the left. By the way, these are not normal, everyday, grassroots Democrat groups like they think. These are coming from mega donors on the far left. Something to ponder while we go to the next one. Because, again, this all points in a very interesting direction. Because if you can't see it, maybe I can help a little bit. This next one, we're going to dive into an article from the AP. And this is an interesting one. And the reason that it's so interesting is because you guys are well aware, if you're listening to this podcast, Trump is clearly the devil. The devil. I mean, Beelzebub to the extreme. Diablo. I mean, goodness gracious, how many languages do we have to say he's the devil? But Trump's alarmist message on immigration may be resonating beyond his base. Ho ho! Nine alarm fire immediately. Again, this is the AP. This is one of the established legacy media sources, the leftist media, or as Rush used to call it, the drive-by media. These people have very determined outcomes for their articles. Nothing is just, oh, wow, I just happened to read this, and oh, this is amazing. Look at this great information, so you can make up your own mind. No, it's all carefully crafted. But as we go into this, understand what they're truly diving into here, because I found this fascinating. This is an article from the 1st of April. The video shared by former President Donald Trump features horror movie music and footage of migrants purportedly entering the U.S. from countries like Cameroon, Afghanistan, and China. Shots of men with tattoos and videos of violent crime are set against close-ups of people waving and wrapping themselves in American flags. Yeah. Sounds like a pretty accurate description. Are you guys watching New York right now? Because New York City just had a cop who was killed by felons who were arrested 14 and 21 times, had illicit guns on them in New York City, a gun control state, and it was all because of bail reform. And they all had previous records, and yet they were still out. Oh, and then 3 days later, you had cops arrest seven individuals in New York City who were squatting, who were illegal immigrants, who had guns and were distributing drugs and had children on the premises, and they were all let out within 10 hours. And as another little wrinkle, ICE came in and deported three of them because New York City said, "Nah, we're not doing it." And guess where they found them? In the same house. Because leftism is broken. Anyway, that's a different thing. But I can't imagine where these where these stories would come from, or these videos would come from. They're literally making the table for Trump to do this, and it's not wrong. But anyway, let's continue, because clearly, Trump is just painting a picture that is just not there, that ironically everyone in the country can see, and it's why it's immigration and border policy is one of the most important rankings in the presidential this year. But anyway, let's continue. Maybe Biden has some sort of crystal ball to see what's really going on, the man behind the curtain. President Joe Biden and his allies discuss the border very differently. The Democrat portrays the situation as a policy dispute that Congress can fix and hits Republicans in Washington from backing away from a border security deal after facing criticism from Trump. It's the biggest load of crap. The Democrats jammed as much funding for Ukraine into that border bill, and then they had a win-win. If they signed the border bill, Biden gets a win for sealing the border, and you get Ukraine funding. If they didn't sign the bill, they get a political win saying the Republicans didn't want to close the border. It was a win-win situation. And Biden's out here saying Republicans kept the border open, which is comical and laughable at best. But this is politics. It's meant to be funny if it didn't make you want to poke yourself in the eye. But anyway, let's keep going, because I find this part so crucially key to explaining this whole article. Again, the AP. But in a potentially worrying sign for Biden, Trump's message appears to be resonating with key elements of the Democratic coalition that Biden will need to win over this November. Little side note. Production note. If you ever want to know if the media is concerned and Democrats are concerned, they start using language like reassembling the Democratic coalition to guide ourselves back to the White House that took us there last time. If they're really winning, they're just like, well, we hope voters show up in November. I mean, it really is comical if you just observe the language, but that's just a little nougat of Positively American, the deeper analysis. But back to the point. Roughly two-thirds of Americans now disapprove of how Biden is handling border security. Well, that's awkward. Including about 4 in 10 Democrats, 55% of black adults, and 73% of Hispanic adults, according to an Associated Press Center for Public Affairs research. Poll conducted in March. Excuse me, gotta wrap that up there. So it's from March. Well, today's April 3rd, so that's recent. Why would AP and the Democrats be showing a, quote, somewhat potentially worrying sign? This is catastrophic level 9 fire. There are nuclear weapons coming down. Literally, there are missiles. You see the trail coming at you. This is not, it could be a problem. No, 4 in 10 Democrats, that's 40%. That's not good. 55% of black adults. Well, that's a main key voting block of the Democrats. And 73% of Hispanic adults, also a voting block in Democratic power center, or at least they want it to be. Interesting how they didn't say the white vote or evangelical. Isn't it funny how they didn't bring up any of those things? Because all of these things are going towards Biden's weakness in this area. But anyway, maybe we can go broader. Check this out. A recent Pew Research Center poll found that 45% of Americans described the situation as a crisis, while another 32% said it was a major problem. So that puts us at 77%. I'm not a mathematician, but I can do that pretty quick. 77% of the population, at minimum, said it was a major problem. 45% said it's a crisis. So let's just back off that for a second and just look at the major problem piece. 77% of the population of the United States has a problem with the incumbent policies in immigration. Does it still sound like a potentially worrying area for Biden? Okay. I hate to see what, you know, nuclear weapons raining down looks like, because this, I don't know how that could be worse. But to give you an idea, again, of the constituency issues they're having, and this is where it really boils down deeper. I just walked you through the high-level stuff, gave you a little bit of a nougat along the way for a tasty treat to snack on. But now, it all comes out in the end. You just have to wait longer for them to eventually say the truth here. Check this out. This goes to the leftist that I was talking about, not the everyday Democrat. The difference between the leftist and the Democrat, this is a good example of that leftist. Vetrus Boyce, a Chicago-based racial justice activist. Hey, you young saplings of freedom, that's always a red flag. Just letting you know. It's a big red flag. If you see someone that says racial justice activist, it's better just to not engage unless you're fully ready. But anyway, was among those who expressed frustration with Biden's immigration policies and the city's approach as it tries to shelter newly arriving migrants. She argued Democrats should be focusing on economic investment in black communities, not newcomers. So the reason that this is so fascinating to me is because the policies of everyone needs a leg up and everyone needs the government to come in and make recompense for anything that's gone wrong in the past. We need money. We need handouts. We need that money. And you need to help everyone who is less fortunate and downtrodden, because that is what we are about. And then the migrants come in and all of a sudden it's, whoa, 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 whoa. They don't get that. We should get that. It's not those unfortunate, sad, poor souls. It's us poor souls. I don't like Democrats now because they're giving the goodies that I told them I wanted and they're giving them to someone else. You know what just happened? You had a demographic shift and you were on the bad end of that, boo. You got played. Because now the people who are coming in as migrants in violation of national law, are taking your goodies. And that is unacceptable. Now all of a sudden that's not fair and that's not right, because they are taking what they should have rightfully stolen. It is comical on a level that you can only look at from a leftist ideal. You can't make this stuff up. And that's only on Trump's anti-immigration stuff that's picking up with everybody, because everyone's got eyes. We haven't even gotten to the RFK Jr. piece yet. Again, I'm just working down my tabs of tyranny. It was a heck of a little click fest I had earlier. But think about this. So far, we've covered propagandists connecting with the White House heavily through all sorts of leftist liberal media donors. Lots of timing coincidences tied deeply in the Democratic campaigns prior. Then we move straight over to the AP, where it's saying that we've got a little bit of a problem. Only their little bit of a problem is literally standing on an iceberg that is melting with a sunshine on it. And now we're about to jump into RFK Jr. We're all over the map, and it's all pointing to the same direction, people. The lefties are in trouble because the leftist utopian, I want to say, thought process and ethos is crumbling under the weight of its own promises. Understand, that's what we're talking about here. But let's continue. Maybe there's something magical in RFK Jr. because he's the bane of existence as well. There's so many banes of existence. But RFK Jr. is really, really earning his spot. I mean, look at this. Trump denies elections and praises rioters, but RFK Jr. says it's Biden who threatens democracy. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, do not threaten the chosen one. Oh, RFK Jr., the New York Times is big mad because you're going after their man in office. And how dare you say someone is more of a threat to democracy than Trump, because Trump is literally Diablo. Did you not hear the earlier segment? Devil incarnate. But RFK kind of has some points. And New York Times is here to try to dissuade you away from them. But don't worry, we're going to put the filter of truth on this and we're just going to destroy it from orbit because it's more fun up here anyway. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who founded his political career on conspiracy theories, subtle, NYT, subtle, condemned efforts to curtail misinformation on social media, and the Biden administration's efforts to do so are anti-democratic. Okay. Oh, the subtitle. Let's just spend some time on that for a second. We got time. You mighty oaks of freedom. You guys are rolling your eyes. He condemned efforts to curtail misinformation on social media, and the Biden administration's efforts to do so are anti-democratic. Shutting down free speech on major social networks is, by very definition, anti-democratic. But no, no, no. Trump is the evil one. He is the one who tried to destroy our democracy, even though it's a constitutional republic. Now, RFK's point here, RFK Jr. rather, his point here was that Biden used the executive power of his office to lean on social media companies to squelch political opponents. It's not hard. But how did they just frame it? The Biden administration's efforts to do so are anti-democratic, to curtail misinformation. Yeah, misinformation is a really good way to say things that don't go with the political norm. You want a really good example of this? The whole COVID thing. You mighty oaks of freedom, you guys are kind of pounding probably the same war chest on this one. But you saplings of freedom, who may not have been involved completely at the rights level, you might have been earlier on in this. But essentially, anytime that you offered a counter opinion or a counter thought, or even tried to circulate anything that could have raised a question because you're looking for what genuinely could be an answer, you were squelched, memory holed. You didn't have a good opportunity to really spread things out. Channels were deleted, careers were deleted, journalists were fired. No, if you went against the narrative, you were killing people. If you dared say that mask might not be the most effective thing in the world, yeah, you were deep hole six. Like, you were out the door. Even though 18 months later, the government comes out and says they didn't work. Well, that's just an unfortunate coincidence because we didn't know so many things. Side note real quick. Sidebar with the beautiful people. I had young children when the COVID shutdowns were in place. I'm 37. I was told that I had to be vaxxed. It was no other alternative. There was no answer. You either did that or you hated everyone. I was told that my children couldn't go into school because they would be affected by something that didn't affect children. And then when they went back to school, my 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds were mandated to wear masks when I can't even get them to wear shoes. I will always remember what the Democrats did to me and my family through those pressure campaigns. Always. And I will never forget it. I'm sure a lot of you out there are in that exact same boat. And it kind of doubled up a little bit because I will always remember what they wanted my children to do before they could truly articulate sentences. That's what they were telling you. You couldn't research and you couldn't figure out what we're talking about. We couldn't understand and ask questions because it was undemocratic and it was very dangerous. And how dare you go against the medical experts? Understand that. But let's continue. That was a good sidebar. Former President Donald J. Trump has refused to accept his loss in the 2020 election. Painted as martyrs, the supporters who stormed the Capitol on J6, laid groundwork to deny the 2024 election results if he loses, and said he would be a dictator on his first day back to office if he wins. So, just to set the tenor, yeah, we're going to be propagandistic on this one. We're just going to go in. But according to the independent presidential candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it is President Biden who poses the greater threat to American democracy, constitutional republic. A view that Mr. Kennedy shares with Mr. Trump himself and that democracy experts call absurd and preposterous. It's not absurd and it's not preposterous. This guy has utilized the levers of the bureaucratic state to say that renters don't have to pay their rent and landlords can't get paid. Through the CDC, he has used mandated efforts through the CDC to try to get your gun rights taken away. He's used mandated efforts in the ATF through the executive bureaucracies to curtail everyone's gun rights. He's tried to use wasn't the CDC, it was the EPA, in order to shut down coal manufacturing plants by reclassifying and redesigning, or not designing, designating what carbon dioxide is. They tried to make it a toxin, and it had to go all the way to the Supreme Court. If you don't believe me, that was West Virginia versus EPA. You can look it up. They got smoked. He has used every bit of his executive bureaucratic power, in my opinion, at the behest of those that are running him because he's a puppet with a hand up his butt, to do insurmountable damage against the United States citizenry and the constitutional rights of which we cherish. And here's the New York Times saying that it was just small, little, modest changes to protect us from misinformation. Yeah. Well, let me see if John F. Kennedy Jr. can provide the actual quote, which might clear it up for us. President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history, that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, to censor his opponent. He repeated himself on Fox News on Tuesday, saying that a president like Mr. Biden was a genuine threat to our democracy, of course implying that the trumped-up charges against Trump are not a genuine threat to our democracy. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fan of RFK Jr.'s policies, but he's right on this one. Biden did do this, and it's just more straws on the camel. I mean, at this point, the camel's like flat on the ground in a pile of straw, dead, but you get the point. Just throw another straw on there. Might as well at this point, because it's just abusive. But if you truly think about what we're talking about, and this is the key point, this is why I really like this medium of communication through this podcast, we can dive into these things and have a pretty good conversation with each other. It's all about our rights, not about our safety. And the Biden administration has a very refined history of utilizing the demand and desire for safety in order to curtail rights, to put the onus on themselves to protect your safety. They've said it numerous times. They do it when they're talking about gun rights. They do it when they talk about health care. They do it when they're talking about rent. They do it when the CDC, through global warming, all of it. You have a right to be safe. Kamala Harris quoted, that was a quote from Kamala Harris at a Moms Demand Action meeting, I believe it was last year. Again, there's the gun world filtering in. Everything that they try on you now, they've done in the gun world already. I promise you, we are veterans in this fight. But the point is, they're utilizing safety and security in order to convince you to purchase with liberty. That safety. And if you look at it in that lens, that's exactly what it is, and it's extremely concerning. But let's continue back. Let's look at how the New York Times is really still very pissed about this. The two most fundamental tenets of democracy are that politicians must always unambiguously accept the results of elections and must always unambiguously reject political violence. Well, the left has a problem with that one, because I seem to remember during that exact same time they were squelching any type of free speech against anything that offered a counter narrative to what they were trying to control. Political violence was pretty popular on the left. Entire cities still are burned to the ground about that one. But after all, they were mad. And I think Chris Cuomo was the one on CNN who said, please tell me where protests, it says they have to be nonviolent or they have to be peaceful. Well, that's damning. But anyway, let's continue. That was Stephen Levitsky, a professor of government at Harvard, who co-wrote the book How Democracies Die. Here's the rest of the quote. I don't think you'll find a democracy expert in the world who will claim that the mild efforts to regulate social media in the United States are somehow equivalent or worse than an effort to overturn an election or the encouragement of political violence. Again, political violence was coming from the left. The leftists who were supporting it in Hollywood were raising funds to let people out of jail for it. Drop the game. The left was involved directly with political violence around the George Floyd issues. And I'm being nice, because I don't want to go down that road right now. Now, Sherry Berman, a professor of political science at Barnard College, said Mr. Kennedy had not only downplayed Mr. Trump's election denial. We're going to come back to that in a second. A threat that is fundamental and has to be recognized as such if democracy is going to work, she said, but also inflated Mr. Biden's actions. Okay. I want you guys to note something. And you stalwart oaks of freedom, you guys know. But the saplings and the little shoots of freedom may not yet. They have labeled on the left everything of which is a categorical rejection of their points as denial. Climate, denial. Election, denial. Science, denier. Everything that they've done over the last several years is based around denial. Because what that does is that says that you're just denying the obvious. You are crazy. You don't believe science. How dare you question elections, especially when there's obvious questions around those elections. And there's nothing wrong with asking a question about an election. I'm not a proponent of violence of any kind. I don't think that's cool. However, I don't think asking a question where you go, hey, that looks weird, you're not all of a sudden evil because you said, hey, that looks weird. Let's just get that out there, right? But again, the denial thing. If you don't believe exactly what I'm telling you, because I have decided that it is the absolute 100% truth, ironically, in an environment where there is no 100% truth, except when I say it's the truth, in which case, this is the truth. But don't you dare tell me what my truth is. It's just the most convoluted thing ever. But anyway, denial. It will always be denial, young little saplings. But let's continue, because this might sound familiar as well. If we had a president who was using federal agencies to chase down his opponents, to disadvantage them politically, to stop them from being able to speak to citizens and voters, that would be a major infringement of democratic norms. That's not what Biden was doing. Two words, gag order. Trump is literally under gag orders. And I know that CNN really likes to play this little game of, we fact-checked if the White House has anything to do with any of the 91 indictments and all the counts of charges against Trump. And they don't. There is no direct line. Yeah. Because politicians who are used to getting their way in subversive manners would never be able to have someone in the middle orchestrating the entire thing, right? Like the DNC. Come on, guys. Like, we were born at night, but we weren't born last night. And I think that's really what I wanted to drive home in that article, because we're actually out of time. Like, this is crazy how fast this flies. But Kennedy, in this interview, said something very powerful, and it called Biden directly into question. He's more dangerous than their mainline narrative against Trump is. So understand why they must line up to defend this, and this is the last point, and we'll wrap. They cannot let this stand. This is verboten. You cannot have 3-4 years of he's the greatest threat to democracy against Trump be the mainline narrative of the left. And then an independent candidate come out and say, no, actually Biden is probably the worst threat to democracy based on these reasons. You simply cannot have that. That is a loss of narrative. You can't lose that narrative. You have to maintain the fact that Trump is bad. He is killed democracy. He is democracy bad. Democracy dead. Trump good, bad. Ew. Orange man die. I mean, that is literally it. And it's something else that they do in the gun world, too. And I think this is interesting as we talk through these things through, that just memories just pop up from what they've done against us in the gun world. On the gun rights, gun control fight side, the left has a very, very easy to identify tactic that they do. And you can pay attention for 5 minutes in what they do. But this is what they do. They have to keep the attacks and the verbiage and the phrases and the consistent themes of their ideas very high level for their constituency. And the reason that they do it is very clear. They will go down a road of, like, for example, ban ARs or ban assault weapons or weapons of war have no place on our streets. And that's why you hear people on the gun rights side say, well, what's a weapon of war? What's an assault rifle? What are you referencing? And they have no answer. Because the people who are chanting and holding the signs have been told that is the sign, that is the emotional response design that you need. So just say that, but they haven't thought the points through. And I can go down the road of some buyback issues that happened, which were hilarious, the New York Times discovered. I can go down the road of all sorts of ghost gun regulations and courts and lawsuits that they went through. But the high level to support this point is they just can't get into the details, so you've got to keep it at a very specific, very low detail, high emotion approach. It's the exact same thing that they're doing here with the RFK response to questioning the Trump democracy thing, right? And that's the entire point that's so powerful. You have to understand this is bigger than just one area. They are tying all of this together in a leftist approach to take the levers of power in Washington, D.C., and that is what we're going to prevent them from doing. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hit the rating button, leave a comment, share it out, and I appreciate it, and I will see you on the next one.